Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Hall of Famer, columnist John McClain with us on 365 Sports. Craig Smoke, Paul Catalina, and I'm David Smoke. John, we were talking about this young man who's been at Georgia and USC, amazing talent in Bear Alexander. I don't know down the road if he's even going to be a part of an NFL combine. Can you imagine he's been to seven schools in 6 years, five high schools in four? Can you imagine being able to record the questions NFL teams would be asking him at the combine?
It would be unbelievable because I can't imagine anybody done that. If you can play, if they think you can play, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many schools you've been to, but obviously he would have a lot of explaining to do.
Explaining. I like it. Paul?
John, as we near the draft, do you think things are becoming clearer what's going to happen after Caleb Williams, or is it just as muddy as it was, say, a week ago?
Well, just as muddy as it was a week ago. We know it's going to be Caleb Williams. We don't know what order the other quarterbacks are going to go in. We don't know how many teams are going to try to trade up. But that's what makes it so interesting. I wish they'd just go ahead and sign Caleb Williams. You can do that if you want to do it, but they're going to sit there when the first day of the draft on the 25th, and they're going to delay that first pick just so they can talk more about Caleb Williams, and the Bears instead of just getting it out of the way and then moving on to the mystery.
John, as Commanders fans, it's excruciating to know that Caleb Williams is going one, and then it's great, like, they've got this option of all the other guys, but it's also dreadful knowing what the Commanders have done with their quarterback picks in the past and how that's gone sideways. So, based on just kind of what you hear, is there any kind of separator you feel like between a Drake May, between a Jaden Daniels? I guess those two being the main possibilities there at number two?
Craig, most people are saying it's going to be Daniels because of Cliff Kingsbury. If you look at Kingsbury, when he was at Arizona, he got them to draft Kyler Murray first overall. First thing you think about Murray is mobility. Now, you got Jaden Daniels, who's a lot bigger and just as fast, maybe not as quick because Murray is small. I don't know, maybe Michael Vick, that I've ever seen a quarterback quicker than he is. And he might just have a bigger version of Kyler Murray. So if indeed he's influential, and I'm sure guessing he is, since Dan Quinn's the former defensive coordinator's head coach, and they're going to listen to him. And I think because Daniel's such an exciting player, but I'm guessing they're going with him because of Kingsbury's history of quarterbacks.
John, who do you think the Texans now at four, what are they, 42? Where, I mean, you mentioned defensive end. Have you gotten kind of an idea of like the guys they might look at now that they're out of the first round completely?
Yeah, they got 9 picks overall. They got 2 2s, 1 2 4, 2 6s, and 2 7s. And with those 2 2s, they need a corner and they need a defensive tackle. Whether it's a defensive tackle first or if it's a corner first, I don't know. Braden Fiske, defensive tackle from Florida State, I'd love to see them get him there. And I've been thinking about Devondre Sweat. And Sweat is, boy, you talk about bad timing to be stupid. You know, it's one thing if he's going to eat himself out of the league, which people worry about. And he's got a reputation, he's a great talent. But if he was 340 instead of 366, he'd be a first-round pick. But now, to get in the rack and then get DWI, that he's going to – you talk about having a lot of splaining to do. He's got a lot of splaining to do. If he was 340 and had stayed out of trouble, he'd be a first-round pick. He'd go before Byron Murphy, who's now going to go way before him. And I don't think that his problem – one of the things people are going to have to rush to is find out, does he have a drinking problem? Does he have a partying problem? They should have known that before. And could it cost him some spots and some money? Yeah, but he ought to be highly motivated when he gets on the field.
John, the Cowboys are at 24. They have this, you know, this offseason that Jerry very much misspoke when he said he was going all in because he gave a lot of people false hope and they didn't have the mathematics to go all in. Is this a draft where they should strongly consider trading back and getting more draft picks because they've got to fill their roster and the salary cap problems don't stop next year, even if they do sign Dak to an extension?
Well, first of all, we know what he's been doing during free agency. He's been helping lure John Calipari from Kentucky to Arkansas. Yeah. Now, if he's done Cowboy stuff as well as he's up to that, then everybody'd be really fired up about the Cowboys. You know, they're going to get Dak extended. They're going to get Parsons, and they're going to get CJ. It's like when they had Aikman and Smith and Irvin. They kept redoing it, pushing the cap down the road, because they had 3 stars on offense. And then at some point, the piper will have to be paid. You hope that the Cowboys have had a chance to win another Super Bowl. But CeeDee Lamb, I'm mispronouncing his name, CeeDee Lamb is going to get it, and Parsons will get it. And I can't see them letting Dak walk and starting all over after you've extended the other 2 guys. So I think the Cowboys are going to still be prolific. They're going to be capable of winning 12 games again, but you know, they suffered some free agent losses. They better have a good draft, and after the draft, they better sweep in there and get a couple of more veteran free agents who thought they were going to make big bucks but are not, and would welcome a chance to come to the Cowboys on a one-year deal with a chance to make more if you stay on the field and the team is successful.
They had a time there where their offensive line with Frederick, who, of course, ended up with that very unique injury that debilitated him for a while. You have a Hall of Famer in Tyron Smith, a Hall of Famer in Zach Martin. Now you have this kid, Tyler Smith. They've had this run. They've also had cheap quarterbacks for the most part, I mean, as far as with Romo and then with Dak. Do teams look at it as if there's a window open and they go for it and then they realize the window's closed? Do they just say, screw it, let's forge through it? Or do they have to, like, go back and say, we got to take a beating for a couple of years?
David, we've talked about this before. Do we see Jerry Jones willing at his age to take a beating? Jerry's very competitive. He wants to win another Super Bowl that's not related to Jimmy Johnson, whether Jimmy won two or Switzer won one with Jimmy's players. He wants to win another one. And I don't see him at his age saying, okay, we're going to suffer two or three years. Look what happened to Texans. It's three bad years. Sometimes it's even worse. Sometimes you get bad and you stay bad. And it necessitates a lot of changes. So I think they will keep pushing the cap down the road. At some point, maybe after Jerry dies, who knows how long he's going to live, then they're going to have to redo it. The key is you've got to have a quarterback. Getting Romo, who was undrafted, and then getting Dak in the fourth round. And, you know, will they get the hat trick of quarterbacks like that? I don't think so. They may, you know, you don't have to get them at the top of the draft. There's other moves in May. Look at Lamar Jackson. And so you just got to know what you're doing. And I think with Will McClay, if they're listening to him, he's a great personnel man, then they'll have a chance when they need a quarterback to get a good one. It just won't be up the top two or three picks.
John McClain with us, Hall of Fame columnist on the NFL, the draft later on this month, and specific stories around the league.
John, would you like to send a message to Scott Drew regarding Kentucky's interest in him?
Yeah, first of all, I was up there for the eclipse yesterday. Lester's dad, my best friend, and I, we went out to the dam. We were out there with his sister, and we went out there. It has a great spot close to the airport, and it was fantastic. And, of course, we got to go over to Georgia's. And so we left at 4:15, figured we'd be back by the start of the Astros at 7, and then have plenty of time to watch the basketball. We got back at 9:45. All the times I've been between Waco and Houston, 5 hours and 45 minutes, worst traffic I've ever seen. Anyway, back to Scott, I do not see him. You guys know him. If he turns down Louisville and gives his word that he is coming back for another raise, an extension, and he's got his dream home, I've heard, about to be built, would he turn right around and go to Kentucky? He stays in Waco. Scott is a god forever. No pressure at all. Great recruiting classes. New building he helped build. I think him, and this is blasphemous, of course, they should build statues to Scott Drew and Kim Mulkey outside the arena. It's like, I still think they need a statue of Singletary out there with RG3. But I just don't see Scott turning around after he gave his word, his handshake, and taking off for Kentucky, where there's more pressure in any program in college basketball.
He has a top five salary. Now, again, salaries change during the offseason. He has a top five assistant coaching staff budget and a top five NIL budget that he's had to do most of that, but Baylor then amped that up because of Louisville, et cetera. And by the way, a brand new facility that it was kind of like his name is on it without his name being on it. So he would get an extra million or two at Kentucky, if maybe 2 or 3 million. But at the same time, is that worth the extra scrutiny at a place that runs people off? Even Tubby Smith got run off. So I don't see it happening, but who knows?
If he takes it, David, we will all wish him the very best.
Absolutely.
Because he did the best coaching job in the history of college basketball when he came to Waco. But if you want to be the best and you want to run with the big dogs, you got to pay with the big dogs and Baylor has always done that with Scott. And I just can't imagine what else does he need. He's got his building. He's got his best recruiting class ever coming in. Players want to go there and play. And if he does, more power to him. But I don't think anybody sees Scott doing that.
I asked a Baylor administrator about whether Nate Oates, who had put out a statement, or whoever, would Scott need to do that? And they said, if you're a guy that's been a coach that's left every 3 or 4 years, probably you want to kind of calm the tide. But when you've had somebody who's been here through what he's been through in 21 years, he doesn't need to put out a statement, although I'm sure the fan base would love to see it. But that was also something that was mentioned, which I thought made a lot of sense.
What did they do after Louisville? Did they put out a statement?
No. He was on our show, made a comment. It was kind of a generic comment. So no matter what he would have said he's there forever, Livingstone, Mac, et cetera. And then people say, yeah, but he never said no, which he apparently never was either. He did say no because he's still a part of Baylor. Whether or not Kentucky's a different animal or not remains to be seen.
Unless he's always had a dream of coaching at the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And if there's another school he'd rather go to, he could probably do it. So, of course, we all hope he doesn't. But if he does, boy, wish him the very best because he would need it, considering everything that's gone on at Kentucky. I don't think it's the premier job anymore. You know, UConn is the premier job, and Danny Hurley's already turned it down. So, you know, if you leave Kentucky to go to Arkansas, that Kentucky job, not real good.
Thank you very much. That Arkansas
Thank you, guys.
Money is
Check
huge.
Them.
That's John McClain, Hall of Fame columnist, with us on 365 Sports.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.